Hello, friends. We're back again. It's Fightful, and it's time for your post-Impact Wrestling review show. It's June 23rd. I think I got it this time. And I got my ride or die, my bestie in crime, the one, the only, Cresta Star. Cresta, we're here. We're clear. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. I'm channeling Becky Lynch, and Team Joestar is alive and well. I'm really happy to be here with you tonight. We're the best. Impact, the best.
A very good episode of Impact Wrestling. We're going to dig into it as we always do. First, of course, I got to ask y'all, I got to say hi to the chat. How you doing? Good to see you. If you're listening to us in the audio realm, hey, how you doing? I hope you like our voices. If you do, why don't you run over and give us a 5-star review, because that'll get your friends a little bit closer to hearing us talk about wrestling, or even you want to hear Sean Ross Sapp or Denise Salcedo or Jeremy Lambert or literally anybody else. Maybe you want to hear Alex Pulaski talking about wrestling. Whoever it is, doesn't matter. Leave us a 5-star review. Gets us out there doing the thing. It's the best time of the year. And of course, you get to hear Cresta's voice, because that's, you know, the highlight of everyone's Thursday over their Friday. Myself and Denise Salcedo, we did the Slammiversary post show this past Sunday here on Fightful, and we had a really good talk about all the matches, including the Queen of the Mountain. We talked a lot about that championship match. Cresta, I haven't spoken to you about Slammiversary. Give me your quick take. What was your favorite match? What was your least favorite match? And how did you feel going out of Slammiversary?
My least favorite match, for the opposite reasons, was the reverse battle royal, because in that moment I became a Johnny Swinger fan and I tweeted at you and I hate you for it, because now I understand. I see what you see. I'm the living embodiment of a hater as a confused fan. My favorite match, that Queen of the Mountain match was so good. So good. That table shot between Green, Perrazzo, and gnarly, bro. Gnarly. Everything. Top to bottom. I was thoroughly sports entertained. 10 out of 10, would recommend.
So you enjoyed the show. You had fun with it. That's the best part. I think most people really enjoyed the show, rightfully so, because it was really well done. But if you want to go back and hear our thoughts on it, you can go over on youtube.com/Fightful. Check it out. Denise Salcedo and I talking about the post Slammiversary show. But we're talking about tonight. It's the fallout from Slammiversary. They did a couple of shows leading in to Against All Odds. And I don't know about you, Cresta, but when I look at my calendar and I saw that we just had Slammiversary, and then I read Against All Odds is 8 days away from now, I kind of like, my eyes kind of bugged out for a sec. I didn't realize that we were that close to the show, and we have a lot to build to. How do you feel? We're so close to it. Do you think that this can turn out to be a good show, Against All Odds? Is there anything that, like, you're looking forward to? How are you feeling about that?
It's going to have to be one hell of a go home episode next week. Personally speaking, there's a lot of wrestling. There's a lot of wrestling this week, next week. Well, for the past 2 months, really, there's been a lot of wrestling. So I was actually surprised that it was so close. But this was a good build. But I feel like next week is going to have to be like, and I just worry about some things. And we had talked about this. But I worry about the Honor No More thing, because
yep.
It's time.
We'll talk about Honor No More, because they factored in huge to this show from literally beginning to end. And if you guys want to factor into our show here on the Post Impact Wrestling Show, you can in the chat. You can donate a super chat. That's our little dollar sign in the YouTube window that lets you donate some funds. It supports us here at Fightful. We are self-sufficient, self-funded with viewers like you. And if you donate a super chat, it gets your question or statement read on the air. We also have our Humper Chats, which, Cresta, tell them what they do.
You can go to Humper Chats. Oh, my brain has left me in this moment. Pumperchats.com. Sorry about that. It helps us. And you can also donate your $5 there. It helps us. We keep just a little bit more of the profits. And it helps us keep doing this, giving you quality wrestling opinions on Thursday. And we'll read those on air too. We love that.
We will, and we appreciate you guys. By the way, after this show, we're going to be done just in time, because at 11 p.m. Eastern, and right now it's about a quarter after 10, at 11 p.m. Eastern here on youtube.com/Fightful, Sean Ross Sapp is dropping an interview with former Impact World Champion Kenny Omega. So get ready for that. We're going to finish the show just in time for y'all. Finally, before we dig into this show, I got to ask Cresta, did you see the big announcement today? Ric Flair's last match And there were two matches that were announced on the show that are vital to Impact Wrestling. The first one being the Wolves, American Wolves, Eddie Edwards and Davey Richards taking on Motor City Machine Guns. First of all, what do you think?
So I've seen a few matches with Eddie Edwards and you literally just said his name.
Davey Richards.
Thank you. Davey Richards. I've seen them together in tag team action before. So I'm excited about that. I already love the Motor City Machine Guns. But the real question is, Ric Flair, a final match again?
Again. He said he's going to be better than 2009 Ric Flair. Says whatever that means. Doesn't matter because Ric Flair's last match is not what people seem to be wanting to watch.
Exactly. It is
matches like Wolves versus the Machine Guns. And we also had the announcement for the Impact World Championship. Josh Alexander defends against MLW's Jacob Fatu. I'm excited for that match. I mean,
Me too, that
is a dream match. No, that's a dream match. Tell me, you're excited for it. I'm excited for it. What are you looking forward to here?
I'm excited for it mainly because Impact has a good way of saying, hey, we don't mind sharing the love with our titles. So I'm intrigued because Jonathan Fatu could really take it. And that would be such a like, what's happening here? I would be here for it. I don't expect it to happen. But if it did, I would totally expect those two promotions to put together a cohesive storyline that'll make you really be like, what's going on over there? Like, I'm excited for that. Super excited.
Yeah, it'll be a really good time. That's going on. That's Ric Flair's last match. It doesn't matter if you care about Ric Flair and his last match. There's going to be some incredible stuff on the card. And you can follow us here at Fightful as we keep finding out and announcing all the stuff. And we'll talk more about all that stuff later. BTI tonight, I ask you every week, did you watch it? Did you see the match?
This time, I actually was looking for it, but I couldn't find it. I am sorry. And I was also doing my makeup. So it was...
I get it. It was on their YouTube channel. It always is. They did a match with Andrew Everett versus Black Taurus. They have Big Man Taurus versus the giant Andrew Everett, who is sneakily big, by the way. He can walk the ropes and do high spots. The guy is nuts. I won't give away too much, but I'll just say Black Taurus does the Power Bull, and it is an insane move to see. The Power Bull. And it looks like he spiked Andrew Everett. It is a very, very powerful move. Go watch the match on BTI, Andrew Everett versus Black Taurus. Very good stuff. Impact Wrestling, let's talk about the show. We mentioned Honor No More at the top of the show. They come out first. They're causing havoc, kicking over stuff. They're stealing cameras, Cresta. Who steals a camera? Apparently Honor No More does.
Yes.
Mike Bennett's not a great cameraman, but he's there. And then they start talking. And Edward Edwards starts the whole thing about everyone loves the TNA nostalgia and that leaving Nashville was the best thing to ever happen to TNA and that the Impact Originals didn't win at Slammiversary. Honor No More did not lose. And then they did something a little strange that they didn't play out, at least yet. They blamed PCO for getting pinned for that match. And then they backtracked it immediately with Vincent. First of all, did you think that this was them kicking out PCO from Honor No More? Is this the beginning of that?
Specifically, Eddie Edwards planting that seed of doubt while he was giving his passionate crybaby speech. I thought that was very interesting. So if things don't go their way at against all odds, PCO absolutely is getting blamed again. And I feel like it's to take away attention from Eddie Edwards, which is funny. And I like how you said Vincent immediately came and was like, nah, PCO's not that guy. But if there is a way that Honor No More breaks up, it's going to be a dissension like, well, who do you think? Well, I agree with this person. So I'm interested in to see where that is going. But also, like, Honor No More, man. Pack it up, you lost.
Well, he asked Vincent, and he says they didn't. He says he brought PCO back for Honor No More, and he brings up Tracy Brooks getting involved. Of course, Tracy Brooks is Frankie Kazarian's wife in real life. She got involved in the match, attacked Maria. Tracy Brooks also wrestled for TNA back in the day. D'Lo Brown came in. He saved the day, that says Vincent. And then they had the unofficial three count from what they called the Nightman, Earl Hebner. I assume that is a father to the Dayman, Brian Hebner. Either way, they call it a big setup. And then Matt Taven takes the microphone and he says, what is this, 20 years of what, mediocrity? At which point a bunch of fans were just like, oh, he's got a point. I'm just kidding. TNA is it's not about mediocrity. 20 years is incredible. And so Taven says he didn't kill Ring of Honor. He saved Impact Wrestling. And now we're just kind of waiting because out comes America's Most Wanted and their 56K ass theme song, because for God's sakes, it sounds old and I'm going to put it out there again. Impact Wrestling, just redo the theme. Just fix it up. It ain't 2002 anymore. Make it sound good. It's an easy one. You did it to James Storm. It sounds fine. The America's Most Wanted theme song, you got to update it. That's all I want. And then Storm talks about their past with America's Most Wanted, calls an honor no more bums, and then they learn nothing from their loss and that they suck. How'd you feel about America's Most Wanted coming out for this whole thing?
I was here for it, especially when he was like, listen, I'm going to just say what everyone's thinking. You guys suck. So you could be mad as much as you want. And then Kenny can go in and say, oh, you guys are washed up. This is not 20 years ago. Beat it. And I felt so bad for Chris Evans. I just make sure that's his name, right? James Storm.
Chris Harris.
Chris Harris. Sorry.
Chris Harris.
Who the hell is Chris Evans?
I think he's an actor.
Oh, that's Chris Evans. Thank you. My brain is like all over the place tonight. I don't know what the heck is going on. So Chris Harris is like, yeah, I don't care if I'm washed up. I'll still come down here and beat you up. It plays into something that happens later. But I was really here for it because then everybody else started coming down on the Briscoes. And I think it was the Briscoes and then it was the Good Brothers, or it was the Good Brothers or the Briscoes, other way around. But it was really good. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed hearing James Storm can talk.
Yes.
A fan.
He's been around for so long. He's always had, between the Southern drawl and just the way that he can really pile it on, his ring work is great. His ability to speak is great. The man has been a top level talent for so long. He could have done so much more, but he decided that wrestling to that capacity, being the guy, wasn't always going to be for him. He's very happy being like just a down home country boy. And that's real. Like, that is every time James Storm talks to anybody, he's fine with that. He's like, I work on a farm. I'm at home. I take care of my dad. I'm cool. And he just comes around. And that's James Storm. But you're right. He is a great talker. I love Chris Harris saying he's going to make Kenny King cry harder than he did on The Bachelorette. Little shit like that just makes it perfect.
I had to look that up. And I was like, wow, he was really on The Bachelor.
Yes. Yes, he was.
That's funny. That is funny. I'm here for it, though.
I think he even had to pull out because he had a daughter at the time and he decided that The Bachelor wasn't the place for him to be. He still has a daughter, but he had a young daughter at the time. There was something about that. He pulled out of the competition. Never watched the show.
Me either. This is news to me.
Anyway, so this fight breaks out. And like you said, the Good Brothers come out, the Briscoes come out, and Chris Harris is standing at ringside, staying out of it. And I love the commentary mentions this because it's not the first time they keep hitting it on the head throughout the night. He promises his wife and kids that he wouldn't fight anymore, that he's inactive, that he's not a wrestler. Now, one thing that wrestling will always do is hit you over the head over and over again until you realize, oh, maybe they're not going to do the thing that they said he's doing. I still enjoyed it. It's a good way to set all of this up because there's a lot more to the story. Honor No More confronts Scott D'Amore afterwards, and Scott says, well, you guys love 10-man tags, so why don't you guys do a 10-man tag against all odds? It's Honor No More versus the Good Brothers, the Briscoes, and James Storm with Chris Harris, and then he makes the main event for tonight, Mike Bennett, Matt Taven, Edward Edwards, taking on the Briscoes and James Storm. Good stuff. Anything to add?
I just want to add that before that, Lish pulled up on Giselle and was like, I thought you had my back. Why don't you help me with Masha Samovich? She was like, I don't want to fight Masha. Who said I wanted to fight Masha? I thought that was freaking funny. Because then she later on is like, I was in the wrong tag team. We were just like going on a date. It was just a date. Relax. I thought when she said, I don't want to fight Masha at all, I died on the inside. And I do not blame her. I don't blame her.
So I was going to get there because I know I skipped ahead. No, it's fine because we were getting right to that. Alicia and Giselle, first of all, says, who was your coach? Chris Rock. And I was like, oh, damn. Okay. And yeah, like you said, Giselle was like, I don't want to face Masha. That was your own problem. The acting between these two is awful. Alicia's not a great actress. Like, I'm sorry. It's very not good. And then Giselle said Lish should team up with Lady Frost. And the problem with that is earlier today, Lady Frost announced on Twitter that she asked for her release from Impact Wrestling. So I don't know if you had seen that yet.
Bruh, I did not. I mean, I think it's so bad that it's good. It's one of those things where, like, I put them in the same box as Johnny Swinger.
Yep. So Lady Frost is out. Lish is probably going to team with Frost. Maybe I don't even know if they taped that.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you had an extra hour in your day, what is the first thing that you would do? Read a book, take a nap, play some video games, do something for a friend, volunteer. A lot of us spend our lives wishing that we had more time. But the question is, time for what? And if it was unlimited, how would you go about using it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important for you and to make it a priority. And therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. Therapy is so valuable. It's gotten me through some tough times, really helped me reflect on things that are important, specifically with BetterHelp. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be the convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. This is so beneficial when you've got that crammed schedule and you can't even imagine finding that extra hour. You can do it all from home. Fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Fightful today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Fightful. It's so flexible and it can help you find that social sweet spot with BetterHelp. That's BetterHelp.com/Fightful.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants. They all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Add up for the next show. Either way, what if that made air and then they're just going to be like, couldn't find Lady Frost. I'm going to go find someone else. I think that'll be hilarious. But otherwise, it was just innocuous. And I was like, oh, of all days to air this, it's the day where Lady Frost says, I've announced that I've asked for my release.
Gotcha.
Gotcha. Jesus Garcia kicks us off with a super chat. It says, after you mentioned it on the Slammiversary post show, I now can't unsee the difference in the colors from the hard camera to the other camera. I talked about white balancing, Cresta. Are you familiar with the concept of white balancing in production?
Yes, that's why I try not to wear white on stream.
There you go. So for those who missed the comments that I made, if you look at the hard cam, it's kind of tinted orange. So everything kind of comes off a little washed out orange. And then on the cameras that they have on either side of the ring, they're pretty much like a brighter, more sterile, whitish look. And it's weird. And so white balancing would have been something that balances the cameras to make them all look uniform so that everything looks properly colored around the ring. They don't do that. They need to do that. I really drew attention to that during the post show. Hopefully it's something that they fix. So there you go.
Now I'm going to definitely be looking out for that because I don't notice it, but now I feel like now I'm not going to be able to unsee it.
Oh yeah, no, game over. You're gonna see it.
All right.
Anyway, what I did see was Chelsea Green with Deonna Purrazzo taking on Mia Yim, and this match was really good. How did you feel about Green and Yim and everything that follows? We'll get into that too.
I think that they have really good chemistry, all three of these women, honestly. Chelsea Green, I'm so sorry I underestimated you. If you want to elbow drop me, I completely understand. But she is so good. Her and Mia Yim, especially when Green tried to hit Yim with her own finisher and Yim was able to counter it. So I don't know how to describe it besides their chemistry, all three of them, because Purrazzo and Green together, it's such a happy mess. And then you add Mia Yim's chemistry with Chelsea Green's. 10 out of 10. What did you think of the match?
I really enjoyed it. So Deonna and Chelsea are good friends in real life. They did the spot together at Slammiversary going off the ladder like you talked about and through the tables. Mm-hmm. I liked at the beginning Matt Raywalt, who used to be a mouthpiece for Deonna, or at least a helper for Deonna, got right up to Deonna with the excitement, sort of savving her on commentary. I loved that. There's some good stuff in this match. Chelsea and Mia Yim have some really good chemistry. The opening with the fake out arm drag when Chelsea fakes out Mia as she's like hitting her with a bunch of arm drags, and then Mia still went for the arm drag and fell down. I like that. Little things like that. It doesn't make the baby face look stupid. It makes it look like she's committed. And that's fine. And then Chelsea's smiling and selling the fact that she, you know, she outsmarted the face. It's good stuff with that. They do some outside stuff. And then the commentary started mentioning Deonna Purrazzo and Taya Valkyrie's matches. And it got me thinking, if Chelsea and Deonna are going to start hanging out together, are we going to see maybe Chelsea and Deonna versus Rosemary and Taya for the Knockouts tag titles? What do you think? Is it something we could do?
Now that you said that, I'm like, absolutely. Why wouldn't they? That would be something, especially for Taya and Rosemary to see if like, yo, can you work this out as Ragnarok? And if they introduce Havoc back into the situation, it's like, okay, how are you going to deal with really tough competition? Because Deonna Purrazzo is not called the Virtuoso for no reason. With some really stiff competition, how are you going to handle that? I think it would be interesting to see them take it off of her and maybe Deonna Purrazzo start belt collecting again, maybe tag team. And then maybe get her match again back with what's her name, Taya Valkyrie, for the Reina Del Rey title. I don't know. I'm like next match. So I would like that actually. I don't know if it'll happen because me like Deonna seems like more of a singles, but I would like that. I would like it. I'm here for it.
Taya is also currently belt collecting. For anyone who doesn't know, right? She has the AAA Reina Del Rey's championship. She has the Knockouts Tag Team Championship. She has the MLW Featherweight Championship, and you know, she's having a match against Thunder Rosa at the next AAA Triple Mania show. That's not for the AEW Women's Championship, but imagine if they had Taya come in, do a one by one. But either way, Taya right now seems to be doing the belt collector gimmick. And I think if you bring that up with Deonna, who used to do it, that would maybe get under Deonna's skin too and lead to some sort of, you know, tag team turmoil with these two teams.
It would be really interesting to see. And if I feel like if they did it, like you said, it would get under Deonna's skin, and then she could probably go around to these other every promotion that Ty is a champion and see if they could she could take the females tag team champions too. Like, well, I got it too. That'd be interesting. Oh,
good stuff. I like that idea. So in the rest of the match with Deonna, or sorry, with Chelsea and Mia, Deonna does get involved, and then out comes Mickie James. So Mickie James was the special guest enforcer for Queen of the Mountain at Slammiversary. She takes out Deonna Purrazzo on the outside. Mia Yim gets the eat defeat, takes out Chelsea Green. That's it. I'm guessing, speaking of tag matches, that we'll see Mia and Mickie James teaming up to take on Deonna and Chelsea. That's the most logical thing for me. I mean, maybe do that at Against All Odds. What do you think?
Maybe. I don't know. I feel like there could be a different tag team instead of those two. I like them better as single stars, especially as Mia just came. Mia Yim. What's wrong with me? I guess as Mia Yim has come back, I wouldn't want her to be in a tag team. And I think Mickie James also is fantastic right now as a single star. Them together, somebody else, because old girl Giselle is coming around. So definitely somebody else.
Yeah, but in the interim, I mean, you just had Mickie James and Deonna have their spat at Slammiversary. So this is a good way to kind of finish it out. Maybe let these two be a dominant tag team. Maybe they take out Mickie James and Mia Yim and then move on. Or they win, the faces win, and then we just move on and Chelsea Green and Deonna are like, we're going to beat everyone else up.
Nah, I can see what you mean if you have the faces lose, because I feel like neither one of them would look bad in defeat. These two could cheat and then they'd be like, now you have to fight us, Ragnarok. Okay, I see you using your big brain. My fault.
Once in a while, I get it. Once in a while. The influencer backstage, and Madison Rayne says very big brain, speaking of which, that she has a broken nose. And then they tease a little dissension because they went head to face in the matchup that they had at Slammiversary. And then Giselle Shaw walks in, and I'm like, what? Why is this happening? And she says, I want to join the influence. And then they start to nope out of there. And then Madison Rayne is like, well, you know, Giselle, if you take out Rosemary, maybe we'll let you in. Why, Cresta? Why are we doing this with Giselle? Why?
Because trolling, the meme never dies. And when you think you know the plans, Impact is like, beat it.
Honestly, throw it out.
I love that because one of two things is going to happen. Rosemary's going to dismantle Giselle, or Rosemary's going to get jumped by the influence, which is probably what's going to happen. And Giselle is just going to be the sacrificial lamb in the meantime.
Oh, poor Giselle. She'll be there with Lady Frost.
Stop it.
Oh, let's keep moving on. This is the match of the night. This is the match of the year. This is the match of the century. Cresta, we have to talk about it from top to bottom. Bhupinder Gujar and Shark Boy teaming up to take on Johnny Swingman Swinger and Zicky Dice. This was it, man. My wrestling fandom can end after this night. Was this the feud of the century between Shark Boy and Swingman? How do you feel about this match before we really dig into it? Because there's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of psychology. There's a lot of thumb work early on in this match. There's a lot of good stuff. Talk to me.
All I'm going to say is 10 out of 10 in the Tokyo Dome. Meltzer, you already know what it is. You guys already know what it is. Honestly, come on, man. I enjoy Zicky Dice. I enjoy Jonathan Swingman. But come on, dog. But also, I really listened to Shark Boy's music today. It's very Stone Cold-ish.
Really? You think the guy that does the stunner would have a Stone Cold-esque entrance theme?
I didn't know. I didn't really hear it before. I'm like, wait, just a second.
Someone asking if it's sarcasm. Absolutely not. Swingman is the guy. He is the champion of champions. Period. Why would we ever say anything bad about the Swingman? You can't do that. The thumb work is real. I'm not kidding. They do a lot of thumb work. They work the thumb against the throat. They work the thumb against the sternum. They do stuff with their thumbs. It's amazing. Bajar and Shark Boy. It was actually a pretty good little match. It really was. They do some comedy. They do some working. Sharkboy bites Swingman's ass. Sharkboy bites Zicky Dice's head because he knows where Zicky Dice's ass has been. There's a sling belly double team on Swingman from Gujar. And then a Samoan drop on Zicky Dice that's broken up by Swingman. And then Sharkboy hits the stunner. Calls it the chummer, by the way.
Period.
And then Gujar has the gargoyle spear on Zicky Dice for the win. And as they're celebrating, out comes Diener and Doring. They take out all four men, and now I'm sad.
They don't like fun. Just want to say that, Violent by Design. They don't like when good things happen. Also, Gujar in the ring, he is really, really good. He is improving, yeah. And I would love to see a run back between him and Speedball Mike Bailey.
So I will say this. For those in Toronto this weekend, Greektown Wrestling is putting on a show at the Ted Reeve Arena. Bret Hart's going to be there. I will also be there. I'm not nearly as big or as important as Bret Hart, but I'll be there with a couple of my co-hosts and doing my thing. But Bhupinder Gujar is actually going to have a match with Joe Doring, which is perfect because of what they shot tonight. So because Greektown has done some stuff with Impact on their YouTube channel, I wouldn't be surprised if they aired this match on the YouTube channel as a, you know, this is what happened last week on the show. Now this is the match that comes from it. But Doring and Gujar is happening. That's a pretty good match and a good way to get there, in my opinion.
I like that. I like that. And I wish I was in Canada. I would go.
You can come. Just make the drive. Why not?
I'll fly. 2 hours.
Okay.
Oh, I don't have a driver's license. I'm from New York.
No, I hear you. I get it. I really do. Ryan Sullivan with the super chat saying Zicky Dice is amazing. You need to love everything he does. I do love everything he does. Zicky Dice is fantastic. Great, great person. So yeah, Gujar gets the gargoyle spear on Zicky Dice, gets the win. Diener, Doring come out. And I like this. This is a good flow in the middle of the show for me because they come out, they call Diener and Doring call out Josh Alexander after they've cleared the ring. They do a cute little edit here, speaking of production, where if you look, suddenly there's a light that flashes in front of the camera and then Josh Alexander starts talking. I think there was some edit that was done in the middle because that light is never actually there. Like there's no actual spotlight where that camera gets hit. It's a little production technique that gets hit if you're a podcast guy or girl or friend beyond the binary. If anyone hits like a number pad key, that's an edit as well. These are little tricks. I'm teaching y'all tricks tonight.
For free.
Well, I mean, if you donate a super chat, that's great. That's a good way to support us. There we go. So I really like Cody Diener being Joe Doring's mouthpiece while Eric Young is MIA. What did you think of this segment? We'll dig into it, but just on its face, on its head, what did you think of the match beforehand and the clean out and everything that comes next?
So them running down and pushing everyone out the ring, I was like, oh God, here we go. Someone else is holding someone else hostage because they're holding Impact hostage because you lost. However, I think that it's coming full circle now. Cody Dean really out here doing Eric Young's bidding after Eric Young broke him down. Classic Stockholm Syndrome. And that storyline in itself, to me, that you've morphed it into something into wrestling is really good. The fact that Joshua Alexander kept getting taunted by Cody Dean, well, Dean just now. And Josh was like, bro, did you ask Eric Young for permission? You can't just not do this because you know he's going to beat you up. Or are you acting on your own in hopes that you could approve or appease him? I like this seed of doubt. I don't know if there's going to be actual dissension, but I love the fact that it's come full circle from Eric Young literally brainwashing you to you now trying to do the same thing to make Josh fall off his game. I think it's amazing. I respect Josh Alexander for coming out and like, hey, I'm going to beat you up right now. I don't care. And I'll beat up Joe Doering at Against All Odds. That doesn't matter to me because I won and you guys cheated. So we'll see. And I wonder if Eric Young is going to be gone until Against All Odds to help Joe Doering cheat.
I wonder if Eric Young would be gone even longer than that, because this could potentially, at Against All Odds, this could potentially be Joe Doering's first singles loss, because we talked about this weeks ago when they did Doering and Alexander, and it ended in DQ because Alexander got DQ'd. He used the Violent by Design flag, got himself disqualified, and then technically Joe Doering won. And that's something that Cody Deaner brings up tonight. Says, you know, you'll have to embrace the fact that Doering's beat you before, and the fact that Joe Doering's going to win the title, bring it back to the family of Violent by Design. Like you said, there's a big Stockholm Syndrome there. There's a big there's a whole lot of brainwashing having gone on. But what do we do? Like, first of all, we know the match is going to be good. We know Doering and Alexander is going to be good. And I don't mind that Alexander is going to take on all members of Violent by Design, but I feel like this has to be it. Or at the August show at Emergence in Chicago, that's got to be the last of the Alexander Violent by Design.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Matches.
I would like if Josh Alexander would have some sort of backup, because honestly, he's fantastic and I'm tired of them jumping him. But I agree. Yeah. I feel like at some point, either you're going to beat all three, which you have, well, except Cody, but not in a title match, but whatever. If you beat all three in a title match, let it be. Let it be. Maybe Eric Young tries to be a nuisance for a while. So someone's like, I've had it. I've had it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So they do a little beatdown, and then security comes out. Joe Doering tosses all the security out. Josh starts tossing both members of Violent by Design out, and then the security gets thrown at each other by Joe Doering. And then Deaner calms down Joe Doering and kind of sends him away, because they go right into the match between Cody Deaner and Josh Alexander, which is a great match. And again, I love the setup here, because they got here from a match that happened earlier that was a comedy match to this segment, to the beatdown, to the match. It was so well executed, and so was the match. Don't need to go too far into it. We can if you want, but Alexander gets the win with the ankle lock. Deaner is flopping around like a big old fish, selling it heavy until he taps out. That was great.
I was buying stuff. What Deaner was selling. And then tapping him out too. Oof.
Good stuff. Very simple, very good. Cody Deaner really is great, and I think more people need to spend time watching his stuff. He's been around for a long time. He really has, and he's really, really good. Let's get a couple super chats. Ricardo DeMarc saying, Against All Odds is shaping up quite nicely, in my opinion, at least. I agree. I think it's going to be a good show. It's really close, but it's going to be a nice little show. It's on a Friday night during SmackDown, so people are either going to watch it Saturday nights or Friday night after SmackDown, after Rampage, whatever it is, they're just going to go ahead and do it, right? It's not a huge show. It's not a big show. So it's easy to watch, I think.
Yeah, and plus, like, I feel like Impact has a good replay or rewatch value. So if you're, the matches are going to be good. Every match from top to bottom is going to be good. So if you need a break or on Saturday, I don't think there's a pay-per-view that Saturday. If you need your 7 days a week, definitely rewatch it. Watch it both days. Dual box it. Buy it twice.
They're doing Against All Odds is going up against SmackDown, and currently their next pay-per-view is going to be going up against Extreme Rules. So that's an interesting kind of thing. Someone's gonna move, and I don't think it's gonna be WWE.
Yeah,
I think Impact might either if they're West Coast, they're gonna start later, or if they're on the East Coast, then they're just gonna move the dates. But that's where it goes. Kai with the super chat saying, "I enjoy Joel Pearl's voice." Thank you, Kai. I appreciate you. I do have to shout out because I've been using this. This is a new microphone for the last couple of weeks. Our friend Drew, who has done stuff with Fightful for the last little while, he actually gifted me this microphone. I have to thank him publicly. He's wonderful, excellent. This microphone's great. Thank you, Drew. Let's move on. Frankie Kazarian's backstage, says Slammiversary was the night of his career, and then he talks about his past with Chris Sabin, and then he challenges Chris Sabin to another match because Honor No More screwed us out of the finish last time. Cresta, I love that he did it, and I love that they set up this match. Are you excited for this next week?
Yes, it was so good last time. I was legitimately mad when it had like no finish. I was like, why?
Yes,
I feel like I'm yelling in everyone's ears, but I was so excited for that. So I cannot wait.
Yeah, I'm really excited for that. We'll see next week when we talk about it on the show, but we're looking forward to Kazarian and Sabin one last time. Tasha Steelz challenges Jordynne Grace at Against All Odds. That is if Jordynne Grace can make it past Savannah Evans next week. So again, a little bit of storytelling. Tasha Steelz gets her contractually mandated rematch for whatever reason, and Jordynne Grace is probably going to win.
Dude, I was so sad when Tasha Steelz lost, because we were talking about it before. Like, it would be really cool if, you know, she could retain the championship, give herself some more time. But I mean, it is what it is. I mean, let's see what happens at Against All Odds. Grace is going to win. Let's see what happens.
I had a long conversation with Denise on the Slammiversary post show about my feelings on how Tasha Steelz was handled as Knockouts champion. You and I have talked about it as well. I agree. I think that Tasha Steelz should be Knockouts champion, at least for a little while longer. But I think we all agree that Masha Slamovich is very quickly approaching the next opportunity.
Yeah, and I don't. No disrespect to Tasha Steelz, but I don't want Masha Slamovich to kill you. And Grace versus Slamovich. Yes, yep. I'm the winner.
Folks, don't forget, after we wrap up here, we're going to wrap up by 11 p.m. Eastern, so it's about 15 minutes left. After this, Sean Ross Sapp, his interview with Kenny Omega will drop on YouTube.com/Fightful. If you are a member of Fightful Select, I have good news for you. That interview's already been dropped. If you're one of the 7,000 people who have signed up for Fightful Select, you've already got that interview and the notes ready for you on FightfulSelect.com, along with a little injury updates for AEW, some of Ric Flair's last match notes, and how a certain steamboat, a certain dragon, priced himself out of the market. Maybe a little bit more information from that. And of course, Sean's running his Q&A. You can get that in. Every single time you're a part of Fightful Select, there's always something there. I promise you. There's a million things. I'm not going to hard sell you, because over 7,000 of you can't be wrong. Let's go. Let's keep talking about it. I just want to do the hard sell. There's 7,000 people can't be wrong. That's all I got to say.
Sold.
Right?
I'm sold. Take my money.
I'm also sold on Sami Callihan and Jack Price.
Poor guy. He didn't even get an intro. Poor guy.
First of all, I got to put over commentary because they mentioned that Jack Price co-won the Impact Gut Check at the Arnold Invitational this year. And I was like, oh, first of all, I didn't know they did that, or I don't remember them doing it. So that's neat. But by the time we've said that, Cactus Driver 97, and we're done. And then out comes Moose. And Moose beats the shit out of Sammy, grabs a chair, tells the announcers to move, puts Sammy through the table with the Uranagi, and that's that. You want to cut forward? We'll talk about the backstage with the Briscoes and the Good Brothers afterwards. But first, Sammy finds Gail Kim and says, we got to end this. And then Gail's like, well, what could end this? What's more violent than Monster's Ball? And then Sammy Callihan says he wants Moose at Against All Odds in a Ravens Clockwork Orange House of Fun match. Raven has to be involved, right? He's got to. It's his match.
I wrote in my notes, what the hell is this?
So this is going to be the first time since 2007 that they've done it. You want to hear the rules according to the Wikipedia? Is it
yes.
Clockwork Orange has a fun match. It is a singles match for which poles attached to the ring post measured about 5 to 6 feet above the turnbuckles, with single chains wrapped from and hanging on the poles to various points on the ring itself, with many weapons hanging from and attached to steel chains above the ring, sometimes with sides of a steel cage attached and erected on the ring. In the first match, the use of weapons is legal. And the only way to win was to put an opponent through two tables after throwing them off of Raven's perch. That was a small scaffold, but afterwards it was changed to a false count anywhere. Basically, it's a bunch of weapons. It's a bunch of weapons, and then it's false count anywhere unless they go back to the old school version of the two tables off the perch. Raven has to be involved. He has to. Literally his match. He went to TNA Creative way back in the day and he pitched it. This is not just we're doing it because it's Raven and he's a character. It was Raven went to TNA and said, "This is my match."
I have no words. All I can think of it here is this drag queen Alyssa Edwards saying, "Mama, this is garbage." That's a lot. I have no words. That's a lot of words for a steel cage match with weapons and a perch to throw off. No, it was changed to a false count anywhere. When was it two matches? What?
So there has to be... I don't even know how to explain this. Basically, I think they're doing this match because they couldn't do it at Slammiversary. They wanted to do Monsters Ball as like the TNA nostalgia kick. And then afterwards, Sammy was like, "No, we got to do Raven's Clockwork House of Orange and or Clockwork Orange House of Fun match." And then Scott D'Amore was like, "Sure, why not?" There's nothing else I can think of, but it's going to be just another ultra violent match with a lot of toys. It's all I can think of.
Oh, my stomach hurts. This is going to be the whole match. My stomach is weak, man.
Well, if your stomach's weak, how about we head down the home stretch? You can donate your super chats, your humper chats, get your questions or statement read on the air before this Kenny Omega interview drops at 11. Next week, they've announced the number one contenders match for the X Division Championship. It's Chris Bay, it's Steve Macklin, Laredo Kid, Trey Miguel. Looking forward to that. Ace Austin versus Alex Zane. Giselle Shaw takes on Rosemary. I'm sure that's going to end well for somebody. And then the main event is Sabin versus Kaz. So we're going to be having a good amount of stuff to talk about next week. Looking forward to it. Let's talk about this main event because, boy howdy, a lot happened. Edward Edwards, Matt Taven, Mike Bennett team up to take on the Briscoes and James Storm with the Good Brothers. We didn't talk about the backstage segment. The Briscoes are approached by the Good Brothers. They say, "Hey, we got your back." And then Harris wants to go out there. Chris Harris wants to go out, and Storm says, "Absolutely not. You made a promise to your family. Am I not your family?" And then Chris Harris says, "Yeah, I guess so." And then James Storm says, "Go home, Chris." So now we get to the match. First of all, talk to me about the match. I know you're not big on Honor No More. Give me a thing.
I'm over them. Go away now. I'll say it again. I don't care. I'm on the hate train. That's me. That is me. But the match itself was really good. I enjoyed it. The Briscoes, those are some fine professional wrestlers. And seeing James Storm, that's a fine professional wrestler. I liked how he was like, they were really trying to work over James Storm and Mark Briscoe, trying to keep Jay out as much as they can and James Storm. I liked the whole match. I liked, what else did I like? I like Eddie Edwards getting beat up. I'm not going to hold you. He's been really jabronying it up lately. So I'm kind of like, yeah, you deserve every bit of it. The post-match, no, okay, before I get to the post-match, I wrote down that, oh my God, I forgot who said it, but when they hit Mark Briscoe at the end and he kicked out of it, it was like, that's chicken farmer strength. I passed away.
Yes. It was a solid tag team power bomb type of thing I think you're talking about. Yeah, we'll get to the post-match in a second. Mm-hmm. The Honor No More stuff, I asked myself, am I sick of Honor No More? And the answer is kind of. I'm sick of them having repeat 5-on-5 matches. I'm sick of the six-man tags every single week on Impact. I'm kind of done with it. Uh-huh. But at the same time, until they kick someone out or until somebody other than Kenny King stakes their claim for a championship, we got nothing. Taven and Bennett going after the Impact tag titles, that's a good move, but we got to get there first. They got to pin one of the Good Brothers, maybe as early as Against All Odds. You could easily do that. Have Taven and Bennett pin Gallows or Anderson. Probably Anderson, because he usually takes the pin. But I don't know how I feel anymore about Honor No More. I just know that I'm done with the 10-man tags. That's really what
I will say. They always complain about not getting opportunities, yet every week you come out and you don't even hold Impact hostage. You just really run down on Scott D'Amore and he literally gives you what you want. You get opportunity after opportunity yes. after opportunity and you shit the bed. So it's like, I get it. You're disgruntled, but I want more for you.
And I agree. They're really doing a slow build with Honor No More, and it's mm-hmm. time for them to start ramping up whatever it is. Because yeah. again, if it's the same matches or at least the same thing where it's Eddie Edwards and then Taven and Bennett, it's just kind of like, shit or get off the pot. Let's do something else here.
Yeah, very
that. So Proton Pack, double team on Mark Briscoe gets the win for Honor No More, and then they do the post-match. So this was good. This was really good. They do the beatdown again. The Good Brothers come out to make the save, but they get laid out because, again, Honor No More has the numbers. They take out the chairs. They put them around Mark Briscoe's leg, and they do the chair smash like they did to Rhino and Heath, and they take out his ankle. So Mark Briscoe needs a replacement. Now, I don't know if you've been seeing this, Cresta, but throughout the entire night, they kept talking about this wildcat Chris Harris and his inability to be a part of a match because he is an inactive star and he made a promise to his wife and kids and he's standing at the back of the ring. Will they, won't they, will I, won't I? Chris Harris is going to be in this match, isn't he?
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. And I would be surprised if he's not. And if he isn't, maybe they put a Good Brother in there. No, the Good Brother's already in there. This is for the 10-man tag.
It's Good Brothers, Briscoes, and James Storm. But now one of the Briscoes is out.
I mean, maybe he gets the pin. Maybe he eats the pin. But I was surprised he didn't run down the night.
I think that if Honor No More wins again, it's going to be Taven or Bennett pinning Anderson. That's going to be it. And then they're going to stake their claims uh-huh. for a tag match at Emergence. Then you got to do something with the other guys. Like Eddie Edwards versus Josh Alexander for the Impact World Championship. Not a bad idea. Kenny King going for the X Division Championship against Speedball. That's going to be a good series of matches. Basically, yes. you got to start breaking Honor No More out into something. Eddie mm-hmm. Edwards versus PCO. After they kick out PCO, because eventually that'll happen.
Yeah.
Right? That you got to get there somehow. But I'm just waiting for Honor No More to start doing things that aren't just Honor No More as a stable.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I don't know why Scott D'Amore hasn't said, if you lose this next match, you'll have to break up and leave me alone. I'm surprised he hasn't done that yet. So when that happens, that'll truly be the day.
That'll be what I'm waiting for. That's what I really want to see. So that's Impact. Against All Odds is next Friday. So we have one show. We already ran down what that card's going to be right off the bat. So we know that Alexander versus Doring's happening and that Tasha Steelz against Jordynne Grace is happening. And then the 10-man tag with Honor No More taking on the Good Brothers, Jay Briscoe, James Storm, and TBD, aka Chris Harris. What are you looking forward to? Is there anything that you're wanting to be added to the card early on? Oh, and the Clockwork Orange House Fun match. That's there too. Is there anything that you want added to this show, knowing that it's just a special on a Friday night type of thing?
No, because I think that something to be a special on Friday night, especially competing against SmackDown, keep it cute, keep it concise, and just not so much get through it. I would not want to put on something like that on something that's not like a Slammiversary or what's the one that just passed? The one before Slammiversary.
Oh man, I'm having that. Under Siege.
Under Siege. I'd rather save it for something like that. So I think this card is cute. I think next week we might get a couple of more modifications. Like you said, Chris Harris coming or being added to that match or running up on Scott D'Amore, or maybe something even happening in another thing. So I think this is going to be a really good card. The wrestling is going to be fantastic.
So who faces Mike Bailey for the X Division Championship? Is it Chris Bay, Steve Macklin, Laredo Kid, Trey Miguel? Who would you rather see? Or do you want to see a combination of that? What are you looking forward to there?
So my thing is, if Steve Macklin goes against Speedball Mike Bailey, I don't want either one of them to lose. I also kind of feel like Macklin should be considered in the main event scene. That's just me. Trey Miguel, I don't want to see either one of them lose. And Chris Bay, to me, makes the most sense if he's going to do like some razzle-dazzle and take it off him with the help of the Bullet Club. But I'm also a Chris Bay apologist. So there's that. So I don't want to, I guess Trey Miguel, because yes, that's going to be a fantastic match. I just don't want to see Trey Miguel lose. But Trey Miguel was the one who pinned him before.
Yep.
Gave him his first loss. Yep. So I could see that saying, yo, run it back. And that could really be the 1-1. But again, I don't want to see Trey Miguel lose, and I don't want to see Mike Bailey lose either.
It's a good point. I could see Laredo Kid pulling out the victory and having a really fire match, no pun intended, against Mike Bailey. Because that would just be a fun match for the X Division Championship on a show that's, you know, it's going to be at center stage. It's not a huge venue, but that would be one place where it would be pretty wild. But Trey Miguel makes a lot of sense. I think you nailed it on the head. You have Trey and the story. I pinned Mike Bailey. I'm the guy. I'm going to do it again. And then, of course, Mike Bailey, you know, X Division Champion, probably keeps it.
Yeah.
That's all I got. Let's go watch Kenny Omega's interview.
I agree with that. I am. Yeah. Now I'm hyped up on vitamin water. I'm ready.
All right. Friends, tomorrow's Friday. Thank the Lord for that one. We're going to be having our post-SmackDown and Rampage show. Go check that out. This weekend is Forbidden Door. AEW New Japan Pro Wrestling putting on their tandem show. Tomohiro Ishii is injured, so he's out of the All-Atlantic Championship match. Clark Connors takes his place. There's your news update there. Either way, if you're watching the show, check out Fightful afterwards. We will have a post show. Sean Ross Sapp and Jeff Hawkins will be live. And there's stuff going on all the time. But Cresta, until then, what and where can the people find you? And what do you got going on?
Hi, everyone. My name is Cresta. Thank you so much for being here and being a part of Team Joestar's post-impact review show, Fightful, everything. You can find me on Twitter at Cresta the Star. That's CrestaTheerr. And in my bio, there's a link tree that'll take you to my YouTube, my Twitch, my Instagram, and my TikTok. Yes, I look forward to engaging with you. Joel, where can they find you?
Easy to find at Joel Pearl, JoelPearl. Ladies, gentlemen, friends beyond the binary, go watch Kenny Omega interview. It's in a different video. Go find it. But it's on youtube.com/Fightful. We'll see you next time. Cheers. Bye.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.